This is Straight Fire with Jason McIntyre.
What is up, Straight Fire fam? It's me, Jason McIntyre, Straight Fire for Wednesday, October 13th. A fun day in baseball it was. The John Gruden fallout has been kind of muted, I would think. It was Gruden, just the quick resignation, just snuffed out any potential for chaos and back and forth and what have you. It just kind of blew over yesterday. The John Gruden thing's done. And we do have a guest on today. We'll do a little bit more Gruden. Her name is Aditi Kinkabwala. Yes, I think I got that correctly. I know she's at NFL Network. You know her from TV and writing. I worked at a newspaper with her at like my first newspaper stop. And we talk a little bit about that. She has covered the Steelers for about a decade, so she knows them as well as anybody. Good stuff. As well as some interesting Gruden takes. We disagree on a little bit. She has some... You'll enjoy it. But first, before we get to the NFL, I got to say, Rob and I have been having this talk like last week about how there really just weren't many great storylines in sports right now at this juncture. MLB postseason, obviously the games are interesting, but storyline-wise, there was nothing amazing. NFL was good. Like, the games are phenomenal. Everybody loves the action. You guys love the NFL when we do podcasts on football. But the storylines themselves didn't lend to massive takes during the week, right? After the games, of course. And then in steps, my main man, Kyrie Irving, everybody's favorite guy, Kyrie Irving. And it was as if Kyrie's been hearing everything we've been saying about we need some good stuff. Like, listen, the Zion Williamson, awesome, fun, love it, love talking Zion. Reality is it's still a couple years away from happening, okay? LeBron and the Lakers, that's going to be fun experiment all the time. Lots of takes there. But in terms of overall large stories, I don't know that there's one right now in sports better than Kyrie Irving. It's very divisive. And I'm not going to go too long on this. I'm going to do some Kyrie and then we'll get to Aditi. But the Kyrie Irving issue hit a apex, if you will, on Tuesday when the Brooklyn Nets put out a statement saying, hey, we get it. We're not forcing Kyrie to do anything. That being said, the way we run our team, we want a full-time player. And Kyrie's either all in or he's not. And we get it. It's his choice. His body, his choice. The famous saying that's now ringing around social media. His body, his choice. Just a quick backstory. There's a vaccine mandate in New York City. It went into effect last month. Anyone entering an indoor gym, that includes the Brooklyn's Barclays Center and MSG, home of the Knicks, has to have had at least one COVID shot. That's the rule. A vaccine mandate. Every Knicks player has been vaccinated. Every Nets player, except Kyrie Irving. So Kyrie then, since he doesn't have one shot, would be unable to play in the 41 home games at Barclays plus the two at MSG. And he's already being fined, you know, like $380,000 per game. $380,000 for missing a game. Okay? Listen, I totally understand his uncompromising nature. I respect it that he's saying, I'm not getting the vax. That's fine. I respect it. You don't want it. Your body, your choice. Fine. Go for it. Do that. But he plays a team sport, guys. There's no way around it. If he were a tennis player, fine, dude, hey, whatever. You don't want to play tennis because of the rules of the vaccine? Fine, don't play. Golf? Totally get it. Individual sports. He's on an NBA basketball team. He is the point guard of the team. He put this damn team together, people. He was with it in Boston. He said, I don't want to play for Brad Stevens. That, by the way, a couple years after he said, I don't want to play with LeBron. Okay, we knew he was crazy back then. I got on his case at the time. A lot of people defended him. Oh, Kyrie's so good, he doesn't need LeBron. Okay, sure, got it. He doesn't need Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens stinks. Brad Stevens overrated. Okay, fine. Builds a team. Recruits Kevin Durant from the Warriors to Brooklyn. He put this thing together. He got the coach, Kenny Atkinson, fired. Go look it up. Kenny Atkinson wouldn't start Kyrie's guy, DeAndre Jordan. And Kyrie eventually just wore on him, wore down everybody and got Kenny Atkinson fired. He gets everything he wants. He ain't getting his way this time. And the Brooklyn Nets drew a firm line and said, you know what? But we don't want a part-time player. So we're going to pay you for the road games you'll get paid for that we're not going to play you in. But otherwise, you know, We're waiting for you to get the vax. And I just want to be clear, because a lot of people online, and I know this keeps coming up, but you know, even the conversations I've had in real life, person to person with people over Kyrie, everyone I talk to seems normal about it. Yeah, get the vax and play, or you don't get it and you don't play. Fine. It's not that difficult. It's not that challenging. But at that point, it's like, hold up. Kyrie recruited Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant could have stayed with Steph Curry and left to play with Kyrie Irving, flat earth Kyrie Irving, who's been a problem everywhere. Kevin Durant put his trust in Kyrie Irving, and now Kyrie Irving just saying, yeah, I'm not going to play. And oh, by the way, this went unnoticed over the weekend, because remember, there was boxing, MLB postseason, college football, NFL. So Kyrie practiced on Saturday and Sunday in Brooklyn with the Nets, but then he did not make the trip to Philly for their preseason game Monday night. It's unclear why. You can play without the vax in Philly. Like, that just has not been explained. Again, this is Kyrie Irving just doing whatever the hell he wants. And the Nets pretty much have had enough. They're fed up. They're like, listen, we're not going to do this. We're trying to build a culture. We're trying to build a winning team. It's just not going to work if you're not here all the time. And I don't know how anybody could argue that. It is almost impossible to put together a team. Remember, last year, the big three almost never played together. So few minutes together. That when it came to the postseason, they had like maybe three games together, or maybe it was four, a handful of minutes against the Bucks, and then Kyrie gets hurt. And it's like, oh my gosh, these guys, how are they going to get to play together? You can't just work it out on the fly. You can't plan for, okay, games one and two, we've got him, Kyrie, on our team, and then we don't have him for games three and four. You know, I saw this quote on a bumper sticker once. Plans are useless. Planning is invaluable. I think it kind of applies to the Nets. Like, you essentially have to have what? Plan for two different rosters with and without Kyrie? Really? That's just asking too much of anybody. You know? It just doesn't make sense. I would 100,000% agree with what the Nets are doing. And I texted a couple people who are in the NBA. One of them is a trainer who was up at the Mamba Academy with KD and Kyrie. And, you know, this guy is a fan of Kyrie. He said he's normal, cool guy. But his feeling is, yeah, he ain't going to get it. He's sticking to his guns here. And by all accounts, Kyrie's just not going to do it. Now, he did, and this is total chicken shit, where Kyrie loses anybody an ounce of credibility that he has. This is just total embarrassing from Kyrie Irving. He went to a reporter and put out that he doesn't really care about the money. He doesn't care about the fame. He's principled. He wants to fight the good fight for the little people. Yes, this is a real thing that Kyrie Irving said. Kyrie Irving, through Shams, you guys know Shams. He was at Yahoo, and now he's at like a bunch of other places. I know Shams. I know people close to him. I have never personally spoken to him. This is where Kyrie loses anybody who respected him, in my belief. Kyrie wants to be the voice for the voiceless, a source said. Kyrie Irving, who wants to be a voice for the voiceless, won't even put his name on a quote saying that. Like, really? That's the guy who's going to be a leader? Kyrie Irving wants to be the voice for the voiceless. I will fight for you, Mr. Bus Driver, so you don't have to get the vaccine. Mr. Zookeeper, I got your back. Like, it's just such a crock of garbage. He has not in any way, shape, or form expressed that at all anywhere. But let me just put it out through a reporter, because he's got 2 million followers and I'll use him as a test bunny to see what the reaction is. Like, it's just, I'm embarrassed for Kyrie Irving. I don't know who's giving him advice. And yes, I know there's going to be people who listen to this and are upset that, well, Jason, why are you trusting the government on the vaccine? Yeah, guys, I saw Billions. Men have always been dishonest. Governments have always been corrupt. I get it. Somebody sent me a piece, a really smart guy I like. I've talked to him. He might have been on here once, Ryan Glassbeagle. Worked with him at the Big Lead. Pretty intelligent guy. He sent me a piece. You guys need to Google this. It's from something called Tablet Magazine, The Plague of the Poor. a dangerous COVID-era authoritarianism. Gosh, that's embarrassing. I can't say that. Targets the most vulnerable and threatens the foundation of a democratic society. It's an interesting read. I sent it to a bunch of really smart people who are smarter than me. Listen, I know my limitations. I sent it to people who are smarter than me seeking feedback. And once I get it, I'll let you guys know what the smart people say. These are like doctors and hedge fund guys who really know their stuff. I read it. It gave me pause. You know, the author kept referring to all these studies left and right, and I didn't bother click any of the links to the studies because, again, time is valuable. I'm sorry, I didn't click on all the studies that the guy mentioned. I'll leave that to the doctors who I trust. I get it. Like, if you're 30 and you don't want to get the vaccine for whatever reason, like, I guess I can understand that. I don't totally see eye to eye with you. And that's okay. We can disagree. I know a handful of people who have not gotten the vaccine. And I talk to them. We're normal friends. Like, it's fine. But Kyrie Irving is part of a team. The Brooklyn Nets need him all the time. And the rules say he's got to get it. Now, if the rules change, you bring him on board. But folks, I don't know how Kyrie Irving is long for the Nets or the NBA. Because if any other team was interested in him, wouldn't they already be like, hey, Nets, we'll take Kyrie? Who wants to get in bed with that? Like, I know teams are a star for a star, but what are you getting? Are you getting a guy who's just going to show up and do whatever he wants whenever he wants? How can you have any faith at all in Kyrie Irving? By the way, go look at his postseason track record. He's been hurt almost every year in the playoffs, almost every year of the last 5 years. Look it up. In Cleveland, in Boston, last year in Brooklyn. He gets hurt every playoffs. He's a tiny guy. So I know this is probably going to come out really harsh on Kyrie Irving, but from my perspective, the whole thing is really, really an awful look for him. And he's kind of boxed himself into a corner because if he turns tail and gets the vaccine now, all the people who, Kyrie's right, I stand with Kyrie, yeah, I buy his sneakers, I get it, they're going to be like, dude, why'd you cave? And clearly he cares what people think about him. Clearly he does. And I don't see him doing that. So we are looking at a bit of a standoff. And Kevin Durant, all I'm going to say is, I can't believe you left Steph Curry for Kyrie Irving. And with that, let's pivot to the NFL and today's guest, Aditi Kinkabwala from the NFL Network.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
You know a guy.
Jason likes to think he knows everything when it comes to sports.
I know what sports fans want.
But for everything he doesn't, he knows a guy who does.
Let's just say I know a guy who knows a guy who knows another guy.
All right, let's welcome into Straight Fire a guest who I've actually known since I started out in the industry. I got to a newspaper in New Jersey it's going to show how old I am. Probably like 2001. And then this girl arrives who's all young, and every guy in the department's like, oh man, she's definitely gonna get better assignments than us. And she was super nice. We got along. I still know her to this day. Aditi Kinkabwala from NFL Network, and she hosts a pod called NFL Explained with Mike Yam. Aditi, how are you?
Well, I want to go back. Okay, so were saying she's definitely going to get better assignments because
you obviously had credentials coming out. I think you were right out of college, right?
No, actually, I was at the San Antonio Express News first. So I had covered high school football and a little, small college football
That's right. So now I know what it was. You had worked with the sports editor in San Antonio, right? Yes, that's what it was. Mr. Mitch Krugel, who nobody cares who that name is. But
I do. He spoke at my wedding, Jason.
What?
He is still
my mentor. Are you guys
still
friends? Oh, gosh, I should shut that up.
Yes. First of all, I was supposed to be a lawyer. If it weren't for Mitch Krugel and my job interview for the San Antonio Express News, my life would be totally different. It was the job interview.
So you guys are still friendly?
We are.
What does he do now?
He runs his own business. Do your listeners really want to hear this?
No, they don't, but I do. It doesn't matter. Who cares if they want? We'll get to the Steelers and John Gruden shortly. Anyways, what does he do?
Mitch runs a publishing company and he publishes several publications, one of which is a cops magazine, NJ Cops, if you're in New Jersey. And I believe he's got a version in Chicago, Florida. Maybe you're putting me on the spot right now because so much for me being really apprised of all the details. The truth of the matter is when we talk, we don't necessarily talk about the logistics.
Right. You guys are
of
like
our
friends
work.
At this stage. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, for sure.
Anyways, wow. So anyways, I've known Aditi for a long time. She's a great reporter. And then, you know, we happen to share the same agent and she's at NFL Network. And
just so we know, let me interrupt really quickly, even though it's so rude. I did just text a picture of you to our mutual agent. Yeah. You know what he wrote back? Love him.
Oh, God. What about
you? Like, you don't love me too?
I guess he's
got to
be.
You don't love me too, Matt?
He's got to be careful with what he texts in, you know, 2021. If he can't say love you, I mean, that text may come up, Aditi, at some point. So it just so happens that you are in Pittsburgh, and Steelers have a massive game this week. Yes, we'll get to John Gruden. I know people care, but you covered the Steelers for a while. And there was.
I feel like this whole pod is about aging me right now, isn't it? Like, this is when Aditi started, and this is how many years since I've known her.
I mean, you've basically been covering Tomlin most of his career as a head coach in Pittsburgh, right?
No. I've been here for 9 years, I think.
Okay, so
he definitely precedes me.
So like 15. But this feels like it's the worst team maybe Pittsburgh has. The offensive line's new. Ben cannot move. The injuries aren't starting to mount. Juju Smith's now out for the season. But that win over Denver was like, oh, maybe they've turned a corner. I'm just curious where you are on Pittsburgh heading into the Seattle game, where they're kind of big favorites against Geno Smith.
Okay, so from the beginning, I have felt that the Steelers have a potential number one defense, such that I'm playing fantasy football for the first time ever, and I drafted the Steelers defense too early, according to Michael Fabiano, but I did anyway.
What round?
Because
not like the sixth round or anything.
Not the sixth round, but you know, it was maybe before 10. Anyway, and week one, it served me really well. That Steelers defense did some great things for me
special
against the
teams
Bills.
Touchdown. Yes,
right.
Yes.
So the defense is indeed elite. You love the way they play. It hurt that TJ Watt got hurt early, that Tyson Alualu, who's a name that not a lot of people know, but really is a true run stuffer in the middle and helps free up Cam Hayward and TJ Watt and whoever the other outside linebacker is, be it Alex Highsmith or Melvin Ingram, to do what they do. So yes, there have been some injuries, but this is still a great, great, great turnover-inducing, aggressive defense. And what was so special about it is that week one, they were able to get pressure without blitzing. And a year ago, the Steelers blitzed just about more than anybody. So if you can bring pressure, as we saw Tampa Bay do a year ago, if you can bring pressure with just your front, then you're in great shape. So the defense is really, really good.
Now
the bad news. Yeah, the problem is that the Steelers said this offseason that they desperately wanted to be able to run the ball again. They wanted to go back to their power running roots. They recommitted to a 39-year-old quarterback who is not that huge guy that extends plays. I mean, he's still a huge guy, but he's not the guy that's running around and extending plays in, you know, 8, 9, 10 seconds and suddenly making some magic happen downfield. This is a guy who's 39 years old and he just can't move quite the same way. So if you want a run game and you want to protect your 39-year-old quarterback, perhaps you should invest a lot in your offensive line. That's not what the Steelers did.
They
ripped
opposite.
Up their offensive line, and they plugged in a third-round pick at center who really should probably be playing guard instead of center. And they plugged in a fourth-round pick or a fifth-round pick. I don't even know what Dan Moore is at left tackle. And they've done all this shuffling, and they also just elevated their assistant offensive line coach as opposed to going out there and getting a guy like a Mike Munchak or a Bill Callahan. And the starting five offensive linemen played a grand total of 43 snaps together in the preseason. So you've got five new guys playing different positions together for the first time, trying to create some sort of cohesion and chemistry. And oh, by the way, learn a new run blocking and pass blocking scheme. And oh, by the way, learn a brand new offense. Obviously, you know, there were going to be growing pains to that. So through the first four games, it was, are these growing pains or do they just suck? And now last week, they were significantly better. I'm not willing to say that, like, oh, this is the Browns offensive line or something, but they were better. And so if the Steelers can indeed run the ball, if Ben Roethlisberger is not counted on to throw the ball 50 times a game and you just get a good play out of him, you know, here and there, and that he manages the game properly and doesn't turn the ball over, I do think that this is a team that can compete. And I'll take you back to the 2002 Tampa Bay Bucks. They had a number one defense and they had a fine offense.
Who's the quarterback? Brad Johnson on that team?
I mean, whatever. Yeah. I don't even know. That's the point. I mean, that offense, I think that they barely averaged 250 passing yards, maybe 100 rushing yards, but they just did enough. And it was good enough to win a Super Bowl.
Yeah. So, you know, Seattle this week, you never want to call any game like a must win, but the Browns are very, very good. They play the Browns next week. The Bengals already beat them once. The Bengals seem like they're going to be feisty. You can never really count out the Ravens, who pulled off another miracle win. So, I don't know. Like, they are in the basement of the division, right? But
correct.
The win over Denver may have changed the trajectory of the team. Is that too big of a statement to say?
You know, I think right now, Jason, it's one win. It's one week. It's one win. Let's see what happens Sunday night. It is, you know, you never wish an injury upon anybody. It's a shame that Russell Wilson won't be playing. But of course, you know, it's a different look when you've got Geno Smith as opposed to Russell Wilson that you're facing. And oh, by the way, the Seattle defense hasn't exactly been the Seattle defense that we all, you know, so have gotten to know.
Wait, this is the Sunday night game. I didn't even realize that.
Yeah, no. It's primetime.
Geno Smith in primetime again? As a Jets fan, I do not wish that on any NFL fan. So
hey, he looked good last week. Don't you feel like coming in cold?
I think the Rams were in prevent D. Like, you know, they were whatever. Okay,
coming in cold, like out of nowhere. Hadn't the guy like not thrown a real pass in 6 years or something?
I mean, he's been in Seattle for a couple years, so he knows the offense, right?
Which is the point that Mike Tomlin made. That look, Geno Smith is not some young little pup who doesn't know what he's doing. He's 31 years old, and he also said he definitely knows the system inside out, and that the Steelers do indeed have respect for this system. And look, like, just get the ball to DK Metcalf and Tyler Lockett and see what happens. Like, those are some legitimate game breakers there. And those running backs aren't bad either.
They're not. They're a batch of okay, right? Collins and Carson. Carson's always hurt. All right, one other question. Who's the team to beat in the AFC? Are you going to go Bills, Browns? Can I hear a Chargers maybe?
No,
or
I've got
you not done with the Chiefs?
You know what? I am, well, I'm never done with the Chiefs, but I am seeing the Chargers in person this weekend against Baltimore. So that's my game this week. Make sure everybody tunes into the NFL Network, of course, Sunday pregame show. I am eager to see the Chargers, and I love their aggressiveness. Hey, Jason, do you know that their data guy, their research analyst, analytics person, is an Indian guy or a person of Indian?
I did not know that. The Indians are taking over the league, right? I mean, the Chicago Bears defensive coordinator.
Well, you know, I just read this story about how aggressive they are on fourth down, and that so much of that is driven by their analytics person, whose exact title I don't know, but his name is Aditya. And so anyway, that was just a little. I don't know if your listeners care about the
camaraderie. Brown camaraderie.
Do your listeners know that you are of Indian descent?
I have not given out my full 23andMe, but I do have like the picture on my phone. Funny side plot. So my son plays on a club basketball team, and we go to this tournament, and I'm talking to this other mom, and then the next day she's at the tournament too. And usually people wait a year to ask, like, oh, so what's your background? She's just right up front. So where are you from? I was like, wow, that's pretty bold the second day I meet you. But I respect it. And I, you know, broke down the 23andMe stuff, but yada, yada, yada. At any rate, congrats to the Indian guy who is running the Chargers analytics.
Maybe, But anyway, the point was more that, you know, they are very aggressive on fourth down. I'm obviously very eager to see them in person. I think that the Bills are just playing so well, and what is so impressive is their defense. Is that Brandon Bean said this offseason, Brandon Bean, Sean McDermott said, we need to shore up this defense. We want a defensive line where we can roll guys. We just have to be better on that side of the ball, and look at what they've done.
Yeah.
I mean
it's
they
phenomenal.
Are leading in so many defensive categories that for as much as we want to talk about Josh Allen and his big arm and these amazing leaps on the field, you can't ignore what that defense is doing. And as you can tell, I still believe that defense wins championships.
Old school, huh? A good offense always beats the best defense, right? Pat Mahomes.
I don't know. What did we see Tampa Bay do? Bringing pressure with just four. And you can say that that was a good offense, but it had a horrible offensive line, very struggling offensive line play, which again goes back to my point about the Steelers that, I mean, you invest in your offensive line above anything else. Yeah. That's the way I feel. But I think that Tampa Bay as much as we talk about Tom Brady and this, that, and the other, that Super Bowl last year was about that Tampa Bay defense, yeah. about that Todd Bowles defense, and the way they were able to bring pressure and bring pressure with just four. And so when we go back to the Bills, I think everybody in the AFC knows that the AFC runs through the Chiefs. So you need to be able to compete with the Chiefs. So how do you compete with the Chiefs? If you can bring pressure with just your front, because you don't want to lose a guy on the back end. You can't. Yeah. You can't afford to do that. I mean, if anything, you need an extra guy in the back end to be double teaming somebody. So you've got to be able to bring pressure with just your front. And I think what the Bills did with that defensive line, what they are able to do right now, I mean, it's a nice matchup.
And it's funny, the Browns and Chargers both have superstar edge rushers in Garrett and Bosa. And so they will be able to get pressure. I was at Chargers-Browns, super lucky. Me and my son went with a couple buddies. Okay. And the one thing I noticed about Herbert is his ball is so pretty when he releases it. Before Allen's making the cuts, you could see Mike Williams, and it's just everything's on point. Like, I don't know, Aditi. People think I'm going overboard with calling Herbert like a top five quarterback in the league already. If you're starting a franchise, how many guys are you taking over Justin Herbert right now?
Like, I think it's a very, very fair point, right? And this is the day and age of, you know, these young quarterbacks who are able to do things. That's another thing Mike Tomlin said I talked about. He was asked about this preponderance for going for it on fourth down. And he said, well, you're seeing mobile quarterbacks. You know, quarterbacks have more mobility right now and more athleticism than they perhaps ever have. And I think that speaks to that. Obviously, it gives you the ability to do things that maybe before you couldn't.
Yeah. All right, I am curious, John Gruden. So obviously we're not trying to get fired here, neither of us. I love my jobs, plural. the Gruden thing's kind of an annoying story in that I feel like a lot of people aren't focusing on how this Gruden stuff turned up, right? It was an investigation into Washington. And we've heard they sifted through 650,000 emails and there's nothing yet on Washington. There's a lot on John Gruden. Who wasn't in the league coaching at the time, it just feels a little strange. Is that safe to say?
But do you think that that's the end of it? Or do you think that there's going to indeed be revelation of more? That this is perhaps just the first drop and there will indeed be more? Because as you said, it is 650,000 emails. And this is not in any way at all excusing or... I can't even think of like a word that won't be misconstrued. This is not softening the blow at all of the casualness with which John Gruden spoke about so many people. Mm-hmm. I simply have trouble believing that in 650,000 emails, these were the only ones flagged.
But fair. That's fair. That being said, why have we heard a ton about Gruden's emails and zero out of Washington? 650,000.
Jason, it's been 3 days. I mean, like, I just think that this is the sort of story that's just going to keep
the beginning.
Going and going.
Okay.
Yes.
Oh, maybe.
It's not, when you say, why have we heard about Gruden's emails? Okay, well, it's been 3 days, right? Okay. Like, isn't this the nature? Like, it's drips and drips and drips and drips. Okay, well... You know, like there hasn't been time yet. And I just think there will be more. I do think that there'll be a little bit more pressure to have some more transparency on what that investigation turned up. Because as you know, there was never a written report.
Yeah. Maybe you're right. This is just the beginning.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
I do wonder... You were in newspapers, obviously.
Newspapers. Good work by the Wall Street Journal, my old home, and the New York Times here.
So one of the theories that, you know, and I know Mike Florio and other people are floating, is the NFL wanting to ultimately protect Snyder is leaking this stuff, taking the investigation from Gruden and going right to the Times and the Journal, kind of to get everybody off the scent of Daniel Snyder and Washington and just get a sacrificial lamb. I know that's some conspiracy theory shit, but Aditi, to me, that was an interesting take.
I mean, anything can be an interesting take. I just don't see it. And I think that when there's a little bit, it makes people hungry for more. And I don't think that the American public is, I just think that football fans are a little bit smarter than that. And they're not going to be satisfied with, oh, okay, here's one sacrificial lamb. Let's just move on now. I think that more people will be curious to say, wait a minute, come on now. 650,000 emails and that's all that stood out in 650,000?
Do you think Bruce Allen, no, I was going to say, did Bruce Allen reply to any of those emails that Gruden sent? We don't know the answer yet. Maybe there's a treasure trove and he's toast. But
I thought we did. No, no, no. In fact, the New York Times, Jason, did say in yesterday's piece that Bruce Allen initiated some of these emails, that these weren't just one-way conversations started by Gruden.
Yeah, it's interesting. I would love to see how that started. Bruce, maybe we will, but you're
Come
optimistic.
On, but you know, okay. You know. Here, I think the bigger picture here is that I think it's very hard to legislate kindness or tolerance, or you can try to legislate inclusion and good warm thoughts. But I do think the bigger picture here, you know, like to the folks that are saying, oh, this is cancel culture, this is cancel culture. I don't think there's anything wrong with demanding a higher standard of people who work for your organization. And as an employee of the National Football League, I don't have a problem with the fact that I'm held to a higher standard, that there are certain expectations of me, that I am in a position of, let's call it leadership, not leadership like one of the 32 NFL head coaches, but I think there is a responsibility associated with that. And I'm okay with the idea that hateful language should not be so casual.
I think that's fair. I don't disagree with that. As a guy, I know I've sent regrettable emails and texts through the years, but hopefully nothing in recent years. But I explain to my kids, you know, you have young kids too, like, hey, you guys are starting to go on the internet and like play some games. We regulate a lot of the internet, all of the internet stuff. But like, you just got to know anything you send or post on Instagram or whatever, like,
lives forever.
And they were like, really? And then my son said, like, what about the Roblox chat, Dad? And I was like, you never know. So just don't write anything dumb, you know? But let me ask you this, Aditi, how good is that Raiders head coaching job, given we don't know the situation with Mayock? Mayock and Gruden kind of came in together. New head coach, could be a new GM, quarterback uncertainty. Is the Raiders job even a good one? In a division with Herbert and Mahomes.
There are only 32 of these.
That's,
you know, it's funny.
What David Culley thought when he took the Houston job.
Yes.
There's only 32. I got to take my chance. And he's gonna
And I've had that conversation with quite a few people, be it as GM candidates or head coach candidates. And it's, you think on the outside that a place may be a little bit squirrely, not even necessarily rotten, but you're not sure. But how do you know you're going to get another chance? Yeah. How do you know another chance is coming your way? And so I think there's opportunity anywhere. And also, let's be very fair. I don't cover the Raiders, so I don't know that club inside out, and I don't want to paint them any which way.
Right. I guess part of the counter, what's the name of the guy who took the Arizona Cardinals coaching job a couple years ago? And he lasted 1 year and then that was it. Do you remember?
Oh, Steve Wilkes.
Steve Wilkes. So he wanted his chance,
such a
he got
nice
it.
Man.
He deserved
such
it.
A
like
nice
you said,
man.
Nice guy, knows football. And then he was done after 1 year. Is he going to get a second chance? The first one did not go well at all. I don't think he's going to get a second chance. But
how crazy is that? Think about all the things that the GM sort of was responsible
Steve
for
Kine.
During that
Indeed.
Period.
Yeah, he somehow continues to hold his job, and now the Cardinals are 5-0. But this, I guess I bring this back to Eric Bieniemy, who has been mentioned supposedly for many jobs. He's never gotten the head coaching job. If I'm Bieniemy, like, I'm waiting. I'm not forcing the issue, going to some dumpster fire so I can last a year or two. I will say the New York Giants job, Aditi. Danny Dimes concussed. Coach on the hot seat. I know you don't like talking about this stuff. GM in trouble. Everybody's hurt on that team right now. If they lose again this week, double-digit dogs to the Rams, and the Cowboys continue to pull away, I think we can safely say that the New York Giants job may be open.
I'm just, you know, I'm sighing, not because it's that I don't want to talk about this. I'm sighing because as a little girl, I was a Giants fan.
Oh,
and gosh. My first NFL beat was covering Tom Coughlin and the New York Giants. Oh. And I left New York right after that Super Bowl win in Indianapolis over the Patriots when Eli Manning threw that beautiful ball to Mario Manningham and Manningham somehow held on to it. Yep. And, you know, that NASCAR defensive front. Let's name another name that hasn't gotten another chance, Perry Fuel. Perry Fuel was the architect of that Giants defense that so terrorized Tom Brady. Yeah, it's just sad. It's sad that an organization has fallen as far as it has. It's sad that, you know, Kevin Gilbride, a man that I had a ton of respect for, was sort of, you talk about sacrificial lambs, he resigned and gave Tom Coughlin another year, basically, and said, okay, I'll fall on the sword, except that Tom Coughlin never got an offensive line that could do anything, and then Tom Coughlin was out. You know, the man's going to be in the Hall of Fame, and I just, I don't know. It's sad to see certain organizations go through something like that. Maybe I feel that way specifically because that's the team I rooted for when I was young.
Yeah, as a Jets fan, I can't say I feel too bad for your parents. It's, we've been
Kyle
through
Wilson
some things.
Gave you so
we've been
much
through
hope.
Some things.
Wait, I keep calling him Kyle Wilson, Zach Wilson. I did this at the draft.
Yes.
I covered
Efron.
The draft in Cleveland, and
who's
I was calling
Kyle
him
Wilson?
Kyle Wilson. I have no idea, but I keep calling him Kyle Wilson. He might be a baseball player or an actor.
I'm still optimistic for Zach Wilson. I'm not ready. All these people want to kill him. It's like, dude, it's game five. He started, what, a year and a half at BYU? Can we relax? They're gonna
and
be
he looked
fine.
So he's good a week and a half ago. I mean, a week and a half ago, you're ready to say, all right, the Jets got it right.
No, I think they got it right. But again, I felt this way about Sam Darnold. And, you know, he's in Carolina Blue now. And
you have a different head coach.
Well, another guy, Adam Gase. Like, I took the bait. Peyton Manning hyped the shit out of him. Oh, 55 touchdowns. It's all because of Adam Gase. I'm like, all right, let's bring him in. Let's do it. Hey, guys, dope. Total
a great coordinator doesn't always make a great head coach.
I don't even know if he's going to be a coordinator again. That's how bad.
Okay, but a great coordinator does not necessarily make a great head coach.
Agreed. I think
they are different jobs.
I think Adam Gase is a high school football coach in like Long Island or something.
Really?
I somewhere. It might be not Long Island, but that's the last thing I saw. He was like a high school football coach.
All right. Well, I'm a big fan of Robert Salas. Okay, who by the way is the son of Lebanese immigrants.
Oh, nice. You love to see that.
He was on our CBS show, We Need to Talk, way back in the spring, and we bonded over how our parents expected us to be, you know, doctors and engineers.
Yeah.
And it's kind of like a very common immigrant story.
My parents initially said doctor. That obviously wasn't happening. And then lawyer for me was the deal. They were like, oh, Jason, you're great at arguing. You really argue with your parents all the time. You could be a lawyer. And then I was like, sounds good to me. And they're like, you just got to go to law school after college. I was like, what, more school? No, I don't think so. But now our kids, Aditi, not to bring it back too much to kids, but like, do you think you'll have the same push for your kids that your parents had for you?
You mean to succeed? Am I a tiger mom?
Well,
heck yeah. My son is in first grade and he brings home like a 24 out of 25. And part of me is like, yay, build him up. And the other part of me is like, what the hell happened to the last point? Like, what do you mean?
Don't do the buildup. That was my only recommendation. Always room for improvement. My daughter had a soccer game recently, two goals. And I was like, it's a great job. And then, you know, you let it settle and you get home and it's like, so when are you going to have a hat trick?
Yeah.
Not in a
you know
pressure
what's so
mode,
funny?
But it's
but
like,
let me
don't
tell you
start
this.
To feel
let me
yourself
tell you this.
Too
my,
much.
I have to say this about my son because my son is six. He just turned six. And up until 3 weeks ago, we were on the soccer field and one day he'd play great. And then the next day he'd be like watching the planes in the sky or the dog on the next field. Well, then the last two games, he's had a hat trick both games. It's just like the light bulb went off. So to answer your first question, do I want him to be the best? Do I want him to succeed in every way? Do I want him to be anything but ordinary? Of course. But I don't feel compelled that he has to be in any sort of one profession. Like the way that my parents felt, there were maybe, you know, four or five professions that really fit what a smart kid did. I think that there's a lot more open-mindedness on my end.
The internet's changed things a little bit. I mean, that's what I left the newspaper. Yeah. I still remember, I don't know if you remember the guy, Rob Tannenbaum. Do you remember him?
Yeah.
He was like one of the editors there. And I had started my own website, jasonmcintyre.com, to like post some of my stories. And someone told him about it in the sports department. And he's like, Jason, I don't know if this is allowed. You might have to take this stuff down. I'm like, why? This is like I'm putting my resume online. People just didn't understand the internet. And I knew
when
at
you
that
started
point,
the big lead, was anybody aggregating or was that just totally your idea?
I mean, it was, I think it was 2006. There was some aggregation, but it was like, I saw Gawker had done it, which was like New York City centric. Yeah. But in sports, there was like a couple of blogs, nothing huge. And yeah, it was like kind of
did
lucky.
You start as just sports or was it always an intersection of sports. Pop culture and sports?
Mostly sports. And then it started.
And
to
no one
off.
Was doing it until you.
Not really. I mean, I can't say I was like the first. I'm sure there were others, but it's so weird because Aditi, you know this now. Nobody does blogs. It's like, yeah, you might as well just do social media, create an account, be interesting, find interesting stuff and put it on social media, right?
So crazy.
Like, do you read blogs anymore?
No. And you know what I will tell you? I look up recipes online and when I get like a whole blog entry, I'm just like, can I just get the recipe?
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
Can I just get
too long, didn't read, or whatever, TLDR, yeah.
But I think that also speaks to the ADD society you are in when you have a six-year-old and a two-year-old. Like, I am on a time frame.
But you got to blame social media for that, right? Like, I think our brains are now being rewired over the last 10 years. Quick, there's no time.
Right,
to
like
waste.
It's hard for nuance and to listen. Well, people are expecting their news in these 140-character bytes as opposed to, you know, reading an 1,800-word story.
And it hurts, like, for instance, this New York Times story. I let my New York Times subscription lapse, so I don't have one. And I had, you know, I saw the headline for Gruden, and I was like, all right, I'll just wait for 50 million websites to just go through and pick out the important stuff.
So
and
sad.
I'll read that. I know that
support
sounds
support your local newspapers.
But,
support
okay, Aditi, let me ask this. How many newspapers do you pay money to monthly?
We do. Actually, the New York Times, the Wall Street Journal, the Washington Post.
We do. Just
I think the Pittsburgh Post Gazette because we live here.
Okay, so that's
we
four.
Do. Oh, look, Matt Kramer now finally says love you too.
Oh, great.
Took the whole length of the show. Note.
But like, and that's not a slight for me, by the way, to the New York Times. It's like, you know, we share a Wall Street Journal one with the family, and I have no problem sharing the password with the rest of my family so they can read that stuff. And the Wall Street Journal to me has better stuff than the New York Times. I'm sorry. I personally don't love the sports section of the Times. Do you? I mean, you know, some of the best sports stuff is at, I'm not tooting my own horn here, but Fox, ESPN, NFL Network has everything you could want. Like, and that stuff's all free. I don't know.
It's sort of like our podcast, NFL Explained, which is a brilliant podcast. You have listened to it, right, Jason?
I did leading up to this, yes. I had not before that. But I am curious, what do you think about getting in the podcast genre?
It's free.
Well,
it's
I know
free.
That it's
That's
free,
my point.
But how do you feel like, you know, you're talking into a microphone. It's weird. You don't get like the automatic response the way you do on social media. And even on TV, you talk on TV, you look on social media, people are hitting you up. Do your podcast.
Sure, which is both a positive and a negative. The podcast I'm really, really enjoying because the one that we're doing, Jason, is not, it's evergreen. You know, so the topics that we are hitting are things that people have been curious about that don't necessarily have very obvious answers and whose answers don't expire. So what I mean by that is, you know, like we explained how every single team got its name or why everything you'd ever want to know about goalposts.
Yeah.
Why are they yellow? Why are they 30? Why are the uprights 35 feet in the air? Like how often do you have to paint them? Whatever. Think like cool things that are associated with the game. And just because I am dorky like this, I like learning stuff, you know, like I like knowing more. I like the idea of sharing this information. You're right. Feedback is nice, but I feel like there's plenty of feedback on my Twitter, which is,
usually,
you know, good and bad. Yeah.
Let me ask this one. So my kids were a little perplexed because they're doing some fantasy football and they were like, so Dad, why does the quarterback get a touchdown if he throws a pass to Christian McCaffrey who runs it in from 20 yards? But if you hand it off to McCaffrey and he runs it in, only McCaffrey gets it. Why with the wide receiver does he get it and the quarterback if the quarterback didn't come near the end zone? And I was like, oof, some next level stuff. Good question. I don't know the
Very
answer.
Good.
And I was just like,
you're
that's
raising
how they
smart
do it.
Kids.
That's
you're
how they
raising
do it.
Smart kids.
Well, the curiosity is important, you know?
For sure.
But I don't know. Is that like, is that a weird question to ask?
No, I think
I know
it's
the
brilliant.
Quarterback is integral,
this makes me think of, you know what? When my son was two, I was teaching him football God, we're talking about our kids a lot. But I was teaching him that, you know, the quarterback is the guy who gets the ball first and he either throws it to the receiver or he gives it to his friend, the running back. And then I remember I was watching Tennessee with him and Marcus Mariota keeps the ball. And my two-year-old looks at me and goes, Mommy, why does the quarterback still have the ball? Like, why didn't he give it to the running back? Why didn't he throw it to the wide receiver? And it was like, oh my God, all the things. That I'm failing at in teaching this child.
And then, you know, wait till you get to pass interference. Again, we were at Chargers Browns and
I'm not
fourth
explaining
down.
That.
And it's like the Chargers guy and the Browns guy go up, the guy ref throws the flag. The replay, which is on social media, is super slow-mo. And the Chargers guy is doing way more grappling. And they're like, well, how does the ref butcher that right on top of the play? That's a pivotal moment, fourth quarter.
Okay, but to be fair, you have to teach your children grace that we have the benefit of seeing this slow-mo replay and that the ref in the moment doesn't necessarily see everything. Replay. And you also have to teach your kids that it's always the second guy who gets in trouble. We saw that last night. We saw that in the Monday night game when Tavon Young got in trouble. But who was it that actually shoved his face into the ground
first? And they took the dive. I got to give Doyle props for that, although karma.
For the dive? For the shove and the dive?
For everything. It worked, right? If they win the game, Doyle's a hero, Aditi.
Okay, so also I talked about my Giants fandom. I did grow up a Knicks fan, and so Reggie Miller, dives. Gosh. No, don't talk to me about dives. I have zero respect for diving and flopping.
Way, we'll go out on this. Reggie Miller blocked me on social media because I called him out and basically said he was overrated. Klay Thompson's way better than Reggie Miller ever was. I don't want to hear it. Reggie Miller did not play any defense
Reggie
ever.
Reggie Miller broke my young heart over and over and over again.
I mean, listen, Reggie Miller, Hall of Famer, great player. Got it. Klay Thompson's a better player. Anyways, Aditi.
Reggie Miller's sister, Cheryl Miller, I think is probably the best.
Yeah, he's very, very good basketball player. All right, Aditi. Keep up the good work with your podcast, NFL Network. Anything else you want to plug? Like, I don't know. Go for it.
No. I'm on CBS Sports. We Need to Talk.
That's
love
right.
That show.
Yeah.
Please tune in next week. We'll be on CBS. Ton of brilliant, amazing women. Andrea Kramer and Dana Jacobson and Tracy Wolfson and Swim and Cash. And I hate when I get asked this because then I'm leaving people out. Dara Torres and Summer Sanders and Katrina Adams and great show. Then also please, the NFL Explained podcast. I'm also doing Sirius Radio right now.
Jeez.
And
you got more
I know.
Jobs than I do.
And I'm late getting to the bus stop right now to go pick up that first grader.
All right,
Jason,
Aditi.
It's been so much fun. Will you have me on again so we can catch up more?
Of course. Certainly. Yeah.
All right.
Maybe
sweet.
I'll go to, you're coming out here for the Super Bowl, right? SoFi?
I hope.
Yeah. Super Bowl week, hopefully. Yeah. We'll catch
up.
All right. Aditi, thanks a lot.
Have fun.
Later.
Bye.